Greetings, readers. Welcome to the March edition of Library News. Spring is right around the corner. The library held the Iowa Regional Braille Challenge on Saturday, February 25th at the Iowa Department for the Blind. 7 students and their families attended the event in person, while 7 other students tested remotely with their TVI. Stay tuned next month to find out the top 3 finishers of each division. Following the Braille Challenge, the library partnered with the South Central Iowa region of the Governor's STEM Council to offer a STEM Fest that included groups from all over the state, providing activities and demonstrations for all participants. We would like to thank all of our volunteers who made the day a great success. It was a wonderful day filled with Braille, STEM, and fun.
The National Library Service is excited to unveil their Spanish language site for users to access a curated collection of resources for both prospective and current patrons to get the most out of NLS service. By clicking on a link at the top of the NLS main homepage or visiting www.loc.gov/NLS/ES, those curious about NLS can learn how to apply for service and find information about the benefits of service all in Spanish. For current Spanish-speaking patrons, discovering the newest books in Spanish audio and Braille formats is now easier than ever. The site again is www.loc.gov/NLS/ES.
Now for the top 10 nonfiction books downloaded from Bard. Milo's Eyes, How a Blind Equestrian and Her Seeing Eye Horse Rescued Each Other. DB110604 by Lisa Bachner. The extraordinary bond between Lisa Bachner, a young blind woman, and Milo, a neglected, frightened horse, helped them overcome staggering odds to become one of America's most inspiring, successful riding teams in the world of show jumping. Lisa Bachner was born with a passion for horses and won her first blue ribbon at age 5. Other awards would follow as a young rider, and for years Lisa trained with jumpers, tackling more difficult leaps, and working to perfect her ride. When blindness struck in her teens, it appeared her passion for riding would come to an end. How could she jump hurdles when she could barely navigate through her own home? But success, trust, and love came to Lisa when her trainer convinced her to buy a diamond in the rough from Germany. On New Year's Eve, Milo arrived at the barn, frightened and neglected. Taking one look at his shaking, filthy body, Lisa promised Milo that he would only know kindness. In return, Milo took special care of her in the ring. Through countless eye surgeries and the many months of training and work, Lisa and Milo formed a magic bond that made them inseparable and winners. With effortless humor and penetrating compassion, Lisa weaves a story of unfaltering faith in Milo and the unconditional love they shared. A Serial Killer's Daughter, My Story of Faith, Love, and Overcoming. DB109623 by Carrie Rawson and David O'Day. In 2005, Carrie Rawson opened the door of her apartment to greet an FBI agent who shared the shocking news that her father had been arrested for murdering 10 people, including 2 children. That's also when she first learned that her father was a notorious serial killer known as BTK, a name he'd given himself that described the horrific way he committed his crimes: bind, torture, kill. As news of his capture spread, the city of Wichita celebrated the end of a 31-year nightmare. For Carrie Rawson, another was just beginning. In the weeks and years that followed, Carrie was plunged into a black hole of horror and disbelief. The same man who had been a loving father, a devoted husband, church president, Boy Scout leader, and a public servant had been using their family as a cover for his heinous crimes since before she was born. Everything she believed about her life had been a lie. Written with candor and extraordinary courage, A Serial Killer's Daughter is an unflinching exploration of life with one of America's most infamous killers and an astonishing tale of personal and spiritual transformation. Retail Geekster, The Insane Real-Life Story of Crazy Eddie. DB109898 by Gary Weiss. Back in the fall of 2016, we heard the news about the passing of Eddie Antor, Crazy Eddie, as he was known to millions of people, the man behind the successful chain of electronic stores and one of the most iconic ad campaigns in history. Few things evoke the New York of a particular era the way Crazy Eddie, his prices are insane, does. The journalist Herb Greenberg called his death the end of an era, and that couldn't be more true. What's insane is that his story has never been told. Before Enron, before Madoff, before the Wolf of Wall Street, Eddie Antar's corruption was second to none. The difference was that it was a street franchise, a local place that was in the bloodstream of everybody's daily life in the 1970s and early 80s. And Eddie pulled it off with a certain style, an in-your-face blue-collar chutzpah. Despite the fact that then U.S. Attorney Michael Chertoff called him the Darth Vader of capitalism, after the extent of the fraud was revealed, one of the largest SEC frauds in American history after Crazy Eddie's stories went public in 1984. Eddie was talked about fondly by the people who worked for him. They still do. There are myriads of ex-Crazy Eddie employee webpages that still attract fans. And the Crazy Eddie fraud scheme is now taught in every business school across the United States. Many years have passed since the franchise went down in spectacular fashion, but Crazy Eddie's moments have endured the way that iconic brands and characters do. One only need Google the media outpouring that accompanied his death. And retail gangster, investigative journalist Gary Weiss takes readers behind the scenes of one of the most unbelievable business scam stories of all time. A story spanning continents and generations, reaffirming the old adage that the truth is often stranger than fiction.
Profiles in Ignorance, How America's Politicians Got Dumb and Dumber, DB 111189, by Andy Borowitz. In Profiles in Ignorance, the author offers a witty, spot-on diagnosis of our country's political troubles by showing how ignorant leaders are degrading, embarrassing, and endangering our nation. Borowitz argues that over the past 50 years, American politicians have grown increasingly allergic to knowledge, and mass media have encouraged the election of ignoramuses by elevating candidates who are better at performing than thinking. Starting with Ronald Reagan's first campaign for governor of California in 1966, and culminating with the election of Donald J. Trump to the White House, Borowitz shows how, during the age of 24-hour news and social media, the U.S. has elected politicians to positions of great power whose lack of the most basic information is terrifying. In addition to Reagan, Quayle, Bush, Palin, and Trump, Borowitz covers a host of congresspersons, senators, and governors who have helped lower the bar over the past five decades. Profiles in Ignorance aims to make us both laugh and cry, laugh at the idiotic antics of these public figures, and cry at the cataclysms these icons of ignorance have caused. But most importantly, the book delivers a call to action and a cause for optimism. History doesn't move in a straight line, and we can change if we act now.
Killing the Legends, The Lethal Danger of Celebrity, DB 110641, by Bill O'Reilly, Robert Petkoff, and Martin Dugard. Elvis Presley, John Lennon, and Muhammad Ali. These three icons changed not only the worlds of music, film, and sports, but the world itself. Their faces were known everywhere in every nation across every culture, and their stories became larger than life until their life spun out of control at the hands of those they most trusted. In Killing the Legends, Bill O'Reilly and Martin Dugard explore the lives, legacies, and tragic deaths of three of the most famous people of the 20th century. Each experienced immense success, then failures that forced them to change. Each filled the challenge of growing old in fields that privileged the youth, and finally, each became isolated, cocooned by wealth, but vulnerable to the demands of those in their innermost circles.
A Song for Everyone, The Story of Creedence Clearwater Revival, DB 110809, by John Lingan. The definitive biography of Creedence Clearwater Revival, exploring the band's legendary rise to fame and how their music embodied the cultural landscape of the late 60s and early 70s. From 1969 to 1971, as the United States convulsed with political upheaval and transformative social movements, no band was bigger than Creedence Clearwater Revival. they managed a 2-year barrage of top 10 singles and LPs that doubled as ubiquitous soundtrack to one of the most volatile periods in modern American history, and they remain a staple of classic rock radio and films about the era. Yet despite their enduring popularity, no book has ever sought to understand Creedence in conversation with their time. A Song for Everyone tells that story, the 13-year saga of an unassuming suburban quartet's journey through the wilds of 1960s pop and their slow accrual of a sound and ethos that were almost mystically aligned with the concerns of decades' end.
My Body Is Not a Prayer Request, Disability Justice in the Church, DB 110776, by Amy Kinney. Much of the church has forgotten that we worship a disabled God whose wounds survived resurrection, says Amy Kinney. It is time for the church to start treating disabled people as full members of the body of Christ who have much more to offer than a miraculous cure narrative and to learn from their embodied experiences. Written by a disabled Christian, this book shows that the church is missing out on the prophetic witness and blessing of disability. Kinney reflects on her experiences inside the church to expose unintentional ableism and cast a new vision for Christian communities to engage disability justice. She shows that until we cultivate church spaces where people with disabilities can fully belong, flourish, and lead, we are not valuing the diverse members of the body of Christ. Offering a unique blend of personal storytelling, fresh and compelling writing, biblical exegesis, and practical application, this book invites listeners to participate in disability justice and create a more inclusive community in church and parachurch spaces. Engaging content such as reflection questions and top 10 lists are included. The Spy Who Knew Too Much, An Ex-CIA Officer's Quest Through a Legacy of Betrayal, DB 108949, by Howard Blum. A retired spy gets back into the game to solve a perplexing case and reconcile with his daughter, a CIA officer who married into the very family that derailed his own CIA career. In this compulsive true life tale of vindication and redemption, filled with drama, intrigue, and mystery from the New York Times bestselling author of The Last Good Night. It's a real-life thriller whose stunning conclusion will make headline news. On a sunlit morning in September 1978, a sloop drifts aimlessly across the Chesapeake Bay. The cabin reveals signs of a struggle and classified documents, live 9mm cartridges, and a top-secret burst satellite communications transmitter are discovered aboard. But where is the boat's owner, former CIA officer John Paisley? One man may hold the key to finding out. Tenant Pete Bagley was once a rising star in America's spy aristocracy, and many expected he'd eventually become CIA director. But the star that burned so brightly exploded when Bagley, who suspected a mole had burrowed deep into the agency's core, was believed himself to be the mole. After a year-long investigation, Bagley was finally exonerated, but the accusations tarnished his reputation and tainted his career. When Bagley's daughter, Christina, a CIA analyst, married another intelligence officer who was the son of the man who had played a key role in the investigation into Bagley, it caused a painful rift between the two. But then came Paisley's strange death. A murder? Suicide? Or something else? Pete, now a retired spy, launches his own investigation that takes him deep into his own past and his own longtime hunt for a mole. What follows is a relentless pursuit to solve a spy story, and an inspiring tale of a man reclaiming his reputation and his family. It's a very personal quest that leads to a shocking conclusion. Hitler's Children, Sons and Daughters of the Third Reich Leaders, DB 110565, by Gerald L. Posner. Göring, Hess, Mengele, Dönitz, names that conjure up dark memories of Nazi Germany and the Holocaust. They were the architects of the Third Reich, and they were fathers. Gerald Posner convinced 11 sons and daughters of Hitler's inner circle to break their silence. This second generation of perpetrators in Hitler's Children struggle with their Third Reich inheritance. In grappling with memories of good and loving fathers who were later charged with war crimes, these heirs to the Nazi legacy add a fresh and important perspective to understanding the complexity of what historian Hannah Arendt dubbed the banality of evil. Hitler's Children is much more, however, than a series of startling family interviews. It is also a spellbinding insider's look at some of the men whose names have become synonymous with terror. This is a classic book about the second generation of Nazi perpetrators, the only one ever to have family interviews with Hess, Mengele, Dönitz, and Göring. No other book author or documentarian ever got those children to talk again. And Norman Frank, the eldest son of war criminal Hans Frank, also never spoke to anyone but Posner. Diana, William, and Harry, DB110618, by James Patterson and Chris Mooney. From the moments William and Harry are born into the House of Windsor, they become their young mother's whole world. "I've got two very healthy, strong boys. I realize how incredibly lucky I am," Diana reminds herself every morning. But even the Princess of Wales questions, "Am I a good mother?" Diana's faced with a seemingly impossible challenge. One son destined to be King of England and another determined to find his own way. She teaches them to honor royal tradition, even while daring to break it. "Sometimes I'd like a time machine," Diana says as William and Harry grow up, never imagining they'd have less than a lifetime together. Even after she's gone, her sons follow their mother's lead, and her heart. As the years pass and William and Harry grow into adulthood and form families of their own, they carry on Diana's name, her likeness, and her incomparable spirit.
March winds can only mean one thing. It's time to make wind chimes. Did you know that when you hang a wind chime outside of your home, it promotes calmness and healing? So join us for Makerspace Monday on Monday, March 13th from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at the Iowa Department for the Blind as we create soundful memory wire wind chimes. If you are unable to join in person, no problem. Just complete the online registration form found at iowalibrary.blog and choose Mail Activity Kit and Video Link, and the supplies will be mailed directly to your preferred address. Please contact Denise Bean at denise.bean@blind.state.ia.us or 515-452-1338 with any questions.
Also on Monday, March 13th at 6 p.m., the National Library Service's Patron Engagement section will host the next quarterly Patron Corner via Zoom. This month's topic is locally produced books, building a collection that is personal to you. The guest panel will include representatives from Texas, Utah, Missouri, and Washington State Libraries. Tamara Roy, head of the Patron Engagement section, will moderate the panel. The discussion will cover topics such as how libraries select narrators, how libraries select books, and what roles patrons can play in this process. Contact the library for the login or call-in information, or go to iowalibrary.blog.
The Des Moines Book Festival is going to be held on Saturday, March 25th in downtown Des Moines. At the festival, you can hear nationally acclaimed authors, engage in exciting discussions, discover new books, purchase merchandise perfect for book lovers, and celebrate your favorite stories in a vibrant community celebration. The Iowa Library for the Blind and Print Disabled will be a part of the festivities again this year by hosting a hands-on Braille activity nook all day. It promises to be a fun day of authors and books while also giving us the chance to promote Braille and Braille literacy.
The Elizabeth Porowski Volunteer Workshop and Luncheon will be held on Friday, April 21st at the Iowa Department for the Blind. We are excited to recognize all the wonderful volunteers and the hard work they have done in the past year. Don't forget about NLS's monthly program, Many Faces of BARD. It will be on Thursday, March 9th at 6 p.m. via Zoom. This month will be a discussion of BARD and both models of the Braille e-reader. There will be time for questions for those who have them. Contact the library for the login information or go to iowalibrary.blog. Please don't hesitate to contact the library with any questions or comments at 515-281-1323 or by email at library@blind.state.ia.us. The library is open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Happy reading!